the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider on what seems to be a torrid weekend in so much of the world. And so many people in the world do not have access to air conditioning or other methods of cooling off. So let's pray for those brothers and sisters of ours. Now this weekend, in the interview segment, I present part two of my conversation with Father Ramil Fajardo, a dear friend from the Archdiocese of Chicago. For several years, he was the rector of the Shrine of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini in Chicago. During his time there, he organized a jubilee year dedicated to Mother Cabrini, and he's now involved, in an interesting way, with the Church's worldwide 2025 jubilee year. Father Ramil, in fact, announced last week in Part 1 that a statue of Mother Cabrini is coming to Rome for the 2025 Holy Year and will be placed in a garden area of St. Paul's Outside the Walls Basilica. So join Father Ramil and me for that riveting story. And now, some of the week's news highlights. As you know, Pope Francis is on vacation in the Vatican at the Santa Marta residence, what we here call a staycation. Last Sunday, he traveled to Trieste, and he has sent a few messages to various groups, but mainly he's been out of the limelight. So let's look at the past week. Sunday, July 7th. The final day of the 50th annual Italian Catholic Social Week, Pope Francis traveled to the northern Italian city of Trieste to share his thoughts on the crisis of democracy. He spent a jam-packed 4 hours in this beautiful city, arriving at 8 a.m. and departing just after 12 noon. His first stop was the Congress Center, where he addressed over 1,000 participants from dioceses and associations across Italy, appealing for a democratic process that engages personal and community involvement. Francis said, just as the crisis of democracy crosses various realities and nations, so too the attitude of responsibility towards social transformation calls all Christians, wherever they live and work, in every part of the world. Democratic participation, he said, must be instilled at a young age, so that citizens embrace a critical sense regarding ideological and populist temptations. The Pope called on Christians to promote a fruitful dialogue between religion and society while upholding the dignity of the person. Indifference, he said, is a cancer of democracy. After his address, Pope Francis met separately with several groups, including ecumenical representatives, academics, migrants, and the disabled. He left the Congress Center for Unity Square for Mass. Some 8,500 faithful were present from Europe and, interestingly enough, South America, Africa, and Australia. Celebrants included several cardinals, 98 bishops, and 260 priests. In his homily, Francis said, "What is needed today is a scandal of faith that is not indifferent to the problems of the world, but that is rooted in the Incarnation, a faith that enters history, touches people's lives, and becomes a leaven of hope and a seed for a new world." All too often, he said, we're scandalized by little things, when instead we should be outraged in the face of rampant evil, of life being humiliated, and we should be scandalized by the plight of migrants and prisoners. Like Jesus, who despite being rejected, tried, and executed, remained faithful to his mission, we Christians are also called to be prophets and witnesses to the kingdom of God in whatever place or situation we find ourselves. Monday, July 8th. Pope Francis approved new statutes guiding the Vatican Foundation that oversees the Pope's worldwide prayer network. Made public Monday, the new statutes recognize the history of the initiative and its mission. The Secretariat for the Economy will now have responsibility for the final approval of budgets and the appointment of a sole auditor, tasks previously entrusted to the Secretariat of State. The Pope's Worldwide Prayer Network has the mission of mobilizing Catholics through prayer and action in response to the challenges facing humanity and the mission of the Church. These challenges are presented in the form of prayer intentions entrusted by the Pope to the entire Church. Tuesday, July 9th. The Holy Father has learned with great sorrow the news about the attacks on two medical centers in Kyiv, including the largest Ukrainian children's hospital, as well as an attack on a school in Gaza. While expressing his closeness to the victims and to the innocent wounded, Francis hopes and prays that concrete paths may soon be identified to bring an end to the ongoing conflicts. As you know, Pope Francis has tirelessly appealed for peace and negotiated solutions to the wars in Ukraine and in Gaza, as well as sending Vatican envoys to both territories with humanitarian aid and messages of closeness and concern. The statement on Tuesday comes in the wake of Russian strikes in cities across Ukraine, and one on Monday that killed scores of people and hit a children's hospital in Kyiv. According to the Apostolic Nuncio in Ukraine, Archbishop Kulbokas, who spoke to Vatican Radio shortly after the strike, the dialysis ward of the pediatric hospital was hit. He expressed shock at the strike on the area where there are no military targets, just the nunciature, the hospital, and some homes and shops. What is most shocking, he said in this case, those who were struck were not only children, but children who needed oncological care or liver transplants or other organ transplants. Wednesday, July 10th. As religious leaders from across the world gather to discuss AI ethics for peace in Hiroshima, Japan, Pope Francis sent a message pointing out that discussing peace and artificial intelligence in the city that still suffers the consequences of the atomic bomb that almost destroyed it completely in August 1945, this is of great symbolic importance. The Pope recalled his most recent appeal on this matter to the political leaders of the G7 as they gathered in Puglia, Italy. During that meeting, Pope Francis emphasized the importance of keeping decision-making in human hands rather than relying on machines, explaining that the machine makes a technical choice among several possibilities based either on well-defined criteria or on statistical inferences. Human beings, however, not only choose, but in their hearts are capable of deciding. Thursday, July 11th. Every August 5th, the faithful of Rome and pilgrims to the Eternal City commemorate the solemnity of Our Lady of the Snows at the Marian Basilica of St. Mary Major. The Vatican announced that Pope Francis will join the faithful this year for Vespers. Now, during Vespers, thousands of white rose petals rain down on the faithful from the gilded ceiling, symbolizing the miraculous snowfall that fell the night of August 5th, 352. This is a great story. Tradition holds that the Blessed Virgin Mary made snowfall on the Esquiline Hill in the midst of the sweltering August heat of 352. A Roman nobleman and his wife, who were without heirs, prayed to God to reveal how they should spend their wealth. In a dream shared by both the patrician and Pope Liberius, Mary expressed her wish for a church to be built on the site of the Esquiline Hill, on the site where, despite the scorching summer heat on August 5, 352, snow fell in a rectangular pattern and it did not melt. The Basilica of St. Mary Major was built on the spot and completed in 354. Thursday afternoon, the Holy Father received His Eminence Antoni, Metropolitan of Volokolamsk, Chairman of the Department for External Ecclesiastical Relations of the Moscow Patriarchate of the Russian Orthodox Church. Friday, July 12th. The preface for a book entitled Women and Ministries in the Synodal Church has been written by Pope Francis, who urges people to listen to women, often overlooked and undervalued. The book was co-authored by two cardinals and three female theologians. Vatican News explained that women, ordinary ministry, synodality, the tragedy of abuse, all of these ecclesiastically sensitive themes are present in the preface. The book is a literary dialogue among the authors based on a real discussion between the Pope and the Council of Cardinals during a notable February 5th meeting. For the first time, three female theologians were invited by the Pope to participate in the meeting, offering contributions and, as Pope Francis calls them, provocations on the theme of women's roles in the Church. Well, those are the week's news highlights, but stay here for part two of my conversation with Father Ramil Fajardo about Mother Cabrini, a saint about to return to her native land. Welcome to the Q&A. This week I talk about St. Peter's statue in the Basilica. A blog reader wrote me after a visit to the Basilica on the June 29th feast of Saints Peter and Paul Apostles. She said she noted that the statue of St. Peter, two-thirds down the main aisle, was dressed up for the occasion, but he looked very black. Why was that? Did they paint the statue? No, the statue has not been painted. That is the natural color of aged bronze. What is the story of this statue? In his guide to St. Peter's Basilica, conventual Franciscan Father Giovanni Giuliani tells us about the ancient statue of St. Peter, portrayed as he gives a blessing and preaches while holding the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Some scholars have attributed it to Arnolfo di Cambio, but others believe it is a 5th century casting. Pilgrims who come to the Basilica traditionally touch and kiss its foot so that it is literally worn thin. In the Middle Ages, pilgrims who reached Rome touched and kissed the foot of the statue and prayed to St. Peter, asking that he be merciful and open the gates of heaven for them if they died during their pilgrimage. On June 29th each year, the feast of Saints Peter and Paul, patrons of Rome, the statue was dressed in a liturgical vestment, triple papal tiara, and a ring. St. Peter is also dressed up on the February 22nd feast of the Chair of Peter. That same day, about 120 candles adorn the beautiful altar of the chair on several different levels. This is to honor the chair for which the feast day is named and celebrated.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I love you. I think you're amazing. I wish you were my neighbor. I live in a beautiful cul-de-sac. We would have so much fun. Oh,
I'm a listener to you guys for the longest time. You guys help me and help, I'm sure, everybody so much.
Thank you for everything that you guys do. We absolutely love your show, and we try not to miss it. So thank you so much.
We need to pray because God says to pray. We don't need to pray to change God's mind. We pray because that is our big connection to the Almighty. Do we need it? Like we need air? Like we need water? Yep. Because if, in fact, God is the ultimate reality, more reality than air and water, then we do need to pray as much as we need to breathe.
This is a Messy Family Minute with Mike and Alicia Hernan. When it comes to screens and our kids, there are two common pitfalls we as parents can fall into. We often give our children technology before they're ready for it because it's convenient. You know, give the baby a phone to play with, turn on a movie. It's easy, right? But convenience should not be the primary motivation for giving children and teens a screen.
On the other hand, it can be tempting to ban all technology in the home, especially smartphones. It's one less headache to deal with, right? But the problem is, it's our job to prepare our children for life. Someday they will need to learn to navigate the web or use a smartphone, and it's our job to teach them that.
So when a child is small, ban technology from them. They need time to grow. But as they become older, you have to start building Christian maturity in them. And that means giving them freedom while teaching them how to use tech wisely so they can build virtue.
To download our free and updated resource on screens and kids, visit us at messyfamilyminute.org.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Welcome back to part two of my conversation with Father Ramil Fajardo, a dear friend from the Archdiocese of Chicago, recently the rector of the Shrine of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. During his time there, he organized a Jubilee year dedicated to Mother Cabrini, and he is now intimately involved in the Church's 2025 Jubilee year, as you heard with the exceptional news he brought us last week. He announced that a statue of Mother Cabrini will be brought from Chicago to Rome and installed on the grounds of the Papal Basilica of St. Paul's Outside the Walls in November this year. A native of Italy, now a saint who dedicated her life to migrants, returns to her homeland. Now, join Father Ramil and me for that riveting story. Saints like, you know, Mother Cabrini, they're so important to us because she's modern.
Right.
I mean, modern as compared to a St. Francis or even St. Joseph, if you will, you know, who've been part of our lives forever. But now we have this woman who lived a century ago.
Right.
And how little did she know, if she knew anything at all, that she was going to be a forerunner mm-hmm. of all the people who today mm-hmm. work with migrants?
My understanding is that she asked Pope Leo XIII something very important, very distinct, which was to be a religious woman religious, in the world, right? Up until then, the Catholic understanding, the Church's understanding of women religious were teachers, nurses, name the vocation, but always within a cloistered environment.
Exactly.
And here's Mother Cabrini saying, no, I need to be with people. How can you expect me to serve if I'm going to be behind walls? No, the gospel reaches out to others. It goes and it penetrates the world. So,
well, and that's what popes have said. Mm-hmm. You know, you're looking at Leo XIII, but other popes, mm-hmm. you look at John Paul, you look at Benedict Francis, the ones of our lifetime, mm-hmm. and they talk about going out to the world.
Right.
Physically, you can't expect people to come to Rome, and that's not the only church.
Right.
It's where the main administrative body might be.
Right.
But the church is where people are.
Right.
It's in the neighborhoods.
Right.
You look at Chicago, we've got Polish neighborhoods, mm-hmm. Italian neighborhoods, French.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just amazing, but you have to go to where the people are.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go to them, you understand their needs.
Right.
It's going to be much easier for you to go out than a person who might hesitate. Gee, I've never spoken to a priest before. Or, gee, who do I talk to about my problems as a migrant?
Right.
It's going to be much easier for the person handling the problems, or even yourself, you know, as a pastor, to go out to people.
Because
mm-hmm. people sometimes feel, just even the hierarchy, meaning, of course, the local pastor,
sure.
is a little above their friendship level.
Right.
And nothing could be further from the truth.
Right.
You know.
It's really an imitation of God's love. Because if you think what our Lord says, you know, Father and I are one. And we read in the scripture that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that the world might have life through him. Now, if you take scripture both literally and spiritually, we know that God the Father sent his Son. However, if we're in the image and likeness of God, then he sends us as well. Right?
Absolutely.
So we go out into the world to encounter people and then bring them back, so to speak, to the love of God. So their local parishes. It's always yes and. We're not simply mere activists, but
sure.
rather we're concerned for the souls. If there are 100 souls, we're concerned with 100 souls. Right?
Exactly. And you're also concerned with the one who might have escaped your notice at first, but he's the only one who kind of leaves the group. Well, who's the shepherd going to go after?
Right.
He's going to go after the missing one,
right.
the errant, you know, lamb of the family.
Right.
So meaningful. Now, we've been talking about, you know, Saint Mother Cabrini. We've been talking about Jubilees. But actually, what we have relived in this talk about our previous talks kind of leads up to the 2025 Jubilee.
Right.
And something special for Mother Cabrini. Tell us about that.
Well,
I forgot. Wait a minute. We have to go back a minute to your last visit to Rome, where you did have a statue. This will lead into our question. You did have a statue of her that you gave to Pope Francis.
Correct.
Yeah.
Dr. Carol Christensen has a great and deep love for Mother Cabrini. So she wanted to gift Pope Francis a replica, a small replica of the statue that has been donated to Holy Name Cathedral.
The life-size one.
Correct. Yeah. The very large statue of Mother Cabrini to Holy Name Cathedral in Chicago. And in that sense, a small delegation brought to Pope Francis a lovely, lovely little replica of that statue, an exact copy. And while we were here, we had a little conversation and said, wouldn't it be nice if we could return the favor? Italy sent us Mother Cabrini, and now we would like to show how the United States has taken her place in the nation, among the nations of the world, and we bring back Mother Cabrini because all of us around the world are grappling with the question of migration and
race
and movements of people. And the best way to do it is the way of Christ, of the most sacred heart. Mother Cabrini being the exemplar of love of the sacred heart, a very contemporary one with the issues involved. So Carol asked if we could have a donation. Holy Name Cathedral signed up for it because also it's their 175th anniversary of the foundation of Holy Name Cathedral.
Oh.
And also we sit on the cusp of the great Jubilee coming up in 2025. So as of right now, on Wednesday, November 13th, we will be installing, Carol will be present to install a statue at the Basilica of St. Paul outside of the walls through the gracious mediation of Cardinal Harvey. And again, his question is, you know, why Mother Cabrini and why here in Rome? Well, obviously, and certainly why St. Paul? St. Paul always says, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Mother Cabrini, inspired by St. Paul, the great missionary to the world. And so the world needs to hear the message of St. Paul through Mother Cabrini. And
such a beautiful story, and I'm so glad you told us that, and we will give this, we will keep up with this to look for ceremonies involving that. And by the way, when you did give the smaller statue to Pope Francis, he knew of Mother Cabrini, right?
Absolutely. He had been referencing Francis Cabrini in several talks. The missionary sisters were so pleased by that. And in fact, Cardinal Supich referenced Mother Cabrini at the consecration of three auxiliary bishops. And he said, here is the image I'd like you to keep in mind, a Chicago saint, a saint who was very much a woman of prayer, but also a woman of action, and very deliberate action for those less fortunate.
Sure. So, Mother Cabrini is coming back to her native land in a jubilee year, the big jubilee,
right,
the whole year of 2025.
I'd like to think that our group, Carol especially, is just before the opening of the Holy Doors, before the beginning of the Jubilee. Mother Cabrini is going to be an exemplar, that the focus, the focus right before the Jubilee opens up is the heart of Christ. The heart of Christ for all those who need to hear the message of the joy of the gospel.
Well, we will be sure. I will be sure to be present.
Absolutely.
And let the rest of the world know and see some pictures of the statue and its sculptor. And Carol, to renew that friendship will be quite special. And you mentioned the opening of the Holy Doors, and the first Holy Door for the Jubilee 2025 opens the Christmas Eve, mm-hmm, this December 24th, mm-hmm, at St. Peter's. Mm-hmm. And then the other three papal basilicas, all on specific dates, open their Holy Doors, mm-hmm, and then a year later close, their Holy Doors. So St. Paul, St. Paul's Outside the Wall will be a fixture on the scene of the opening of Holy Doors, and we can work in Mother Cabrini and everything else.
Absolutely.
So she's looking over us, those of us who love her, those of us who are from Chicago and, mm-hmm, have celebrated her, since her death, so over a century.
Yeah.
And now the universal, not now, but November, December, and onwards, the Universal Church can celebrate her. And so there'll be a delegation, I'm sure, a pilgrimage from Chicago for this.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Chicago is very excited because of this.
Oh, and they should be. And just to think of all that's been done in these few years that we're trying to capture here in just a few minutes. But the Jubilee at the Shrine, the life-size statue bigger than life, slightly bigger than life, being put in Holy Name Cathedral. Mm-hmm. And the replica given to Pope Francis, and now Mother herself coming back You know, and so that's very exciting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I know you've been busy these days, and I want to thank you for your time, because it's such a wonderful story. And you and I have followed so many of these things together, and I just wanted to let my listeners know of this great event to put on their calendar, and if they're not in Rome on that date, November...
13th.
13th. That was the day of... What does that date commemorate?
Well, it's a Wednesday, actually, this year, 2024, and it was the most available date for Carla Harvey.
Oh, okay.
But it's really the month of November is special with the Missionary Sisters,
okay.
For obvious reasons. So we are trying to just capitalize on what is available, and we want to maximize, especially, participation. So
sure.
That day, even though it's the date of the Wednesday audience for the Holy Father, the point is we're focusing much more on the gift and in preparation for the Jubilee year.
Sure.
So Mother Cabrini for us points the way to this new perspective of the Holy Year, the Jubilee year.
America re-gifting.
Oh yeah. Sure.
Italy, her
yeah,
native daughter.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, yeah. So well, Father Ramil, thank you so much. I know you have little time left here in Rome, but you have other visits on the horizon. So.
Absolutely. I God willing, I'm always coming back. It's always a pilgrimage, and it's always a pleasure to check in with you to just make sure that we keep in touch and just to, again, soak in Rome.
Exactly.
You have to soak in Rome. The history here, and especially the presence of the Church and the message of our Lord.
Well, we've managed to also do that over some good meals that this country is known for.
Absolutely.
You know. Anyway. Well, listen, God bless you. I know He already has. May He further bless you. And we will keep in touch, and safe travels.
Thank you very much. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
God bless.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.